You by Safe Touch Security. All the news wrapped up and delivered on air and on demand. This is the Ryan Gorman Show on News Radio WFLA.
Ryan Gorman here with Dana McKay and James Berlander. Now let's go to the hotline and bring in our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff, who you can find online at daytradefun.com. Again, that's daytradefun.com. Jay, it's great to talk to you this morning. And of course, let's go back to Friday and the April jobs numbers report, and came in under what was expected. But a lot of investors thought maybe that was good news. Maybe the economy is cooling a bit. And in turn, maybe that could finally lead to some interest rate cuts. What did you make of the report and the reaction to it?
Well, I mean, when it came in under and it showed that things were cooling just a bit, the thought was, okay, that's better than the news that we've seen in the past. Obviously, you don't want to get excited when you see there's not as many job opportunities out there as usual. But in the big picture of things, there was certainly some concern and some relief. Now, it told investors that, hey, there's a decent chance now that interest rate cuts could be coming. But, you know, Jerome Powell, I think the way he is starting to word things, it's getting a little bit more attention. One of the things he said that really caught my eye was that he didn't see the likelihood of an interest rate increase the next time around. So at least he's throwing it out there to try to temper some of these expectations that are absolutely running crazy at this point in time. But, you know, there's a lot of optimism. But as you and I talk about so much, one thing doesn't make a trend.
Yeah.
So one of the things we're going to have to look at as we move forward, is this a trend or was this a just kind of a blip and then we're going to go back to how it was before with things kind of exceeding expectations, feeding the idea that things are a little bit hotter than they need to be right now. So, you know, it was good to see because it kind of gave us a little bit of optimism on Wall Street. But, I mean, I'm not doing a Snoopy dance because it's very clear that we need a lot more data than what we've seen from just one report of so many over the last quarter to really be able to determine, you know, what the next step's going to be for the Fed.
Yeah, I think one of the past reports, the numbers were revised up. So the numbers were better than even better than expected. And then there was one report that was revised down a little bit. But I think it's too early to really get a good sense as to where this economy's heading, at least.
Well, and a lot of people are just desperate for any optimism at all. And even if it's a glimmer of it, they're going to latch onto it and hold onto it tightly because, you know, one of the things that you see so often is that, you know, people have expectations built into their portfolio based on how they think things are going to go. And when things go in a different direction, well, then they start to suffer financially and it really becomes an issue. And that's one of the things as we have always tried to temper the expectations here is looking at the big picture of things on what the Fed would be looking at doing or not looking at doing. And, you know, I think Jerome Powell is getting a little irritated at people bringing up the 1970s.
Yeah,
he said I think he's talking to you and I, like, you guys should stop talking about this. But he said, look, I don't see any similarities between now and 1970s. The inflation battle we had then was different than now. Yes. But the thing was, they had some unknowns. It was with oil and some different things that kind of came in that really, I think, exasperated that. But the issue is, I'll never dismiss that because you can have unknowns of a lot of different quantity type things hit us. And those are the types of things you have to be careful on. So, you know, Jerome Powell says, relax. I don't see a repeat of the 1970s. But, you know, when people say that, I get more worried because it's like, please don't dismiss history that casually because, yes, I know you know what you're doing and you guys have been doing a good job with this. But you need to just be aware on every single aspect here because there's a lot of moving parts here. And, yeah, the Fed's done a good job so far. But, yeah, if you want to get Jerome Powell, I guess, a little ruffled, just bring up the 1970s battle with inflation and see how he reacts.
Well, and it seems pretty clear that they have kept what happened in the 1970s in mind based on how cautious they've been about cutting interest rates too soon.
And they've referenced the 70s before, too, Ryan.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All we're doing is referencing their referencing.
Right.
So I don't know why they would be upset with that. But I guess there's been such a focus on it that they think it's just a little bit too much. But, you know, we'll have to see. Look, the bottom line is we've not seen a hard landing as far as coming off of what we're at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Inflation, the battle is still there. That's really no surprise as we look at it. And one of the things as we move forward we're going to have to be looking at is how the Fed is going to react to any of these reports. And we know the Fed, like a great big cruise liner, is going to make adjustments in a very slow, methodical process. So when we start moving in the direction of interest rate cuts, and you and I have said it so often over so many months, it's going to be slow, it's going to be gradual, the exact same way they raised interest rates. So, you know, hopefully sooner than later, we can be pointed in that direction. But again, I don't even think the casual observer at this point in time can say that this inflation stuff is out of the way, because frankly, there's just too much stuff right now that is still on the plate that could go the other way. So hopefully we can see a lot more good reports as we move forward.
We're joined by our market and air travel expert Jay Ratliff this morning. I want to switch to an aviation story. It almost became a snakes on a plane situation, but didn't quite get there because TSA, they discovered the snakes before they made their way onto the plane. This happened in Florida.
Yeah, it's typical because there's a lot of exotic animals that people are trying to get out of Florida, and the TSA certainly on the lookout for them. And this particular man had a small pouch that would be kind of used for sunglasses. He had two exotic snakes in there and had it tucked into his pants. TSA was able to locate it, and you know, he's in a lot of trouble for transporting those animals. And the Customs and Border Patrol, they were called in, as they always are with this. But, you know, Ron, we'll see people that will try to smuggle out of Florida a bunch of baby turtles and all kinds of other exotic-type animals, which is against the law. And, you know, most of the time that they're caught. But, you know, I always think, gosh, if this guy had gotten on, fallen asleep, all those guys got out, and, you know, that would be the plane that Samuel Jackson, who just happened to be in Florida, would be on.
Well, that has happened before, Jay. Here's audio of when that last happened.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane!
Yeah.
Everybody strap in! I'm about to open some windows.
Yeah, I mean, that was when TSA didn't catch the snakes getting
in
the plane.
Exactly. They need to do a better job that day for sure. But look, if you are so inclined, you can Google images of snakes on a plane, and there have been some that have been in the overhead lights that were up there warming themselves during the flight.
Come drooping
and,
down. Can only imagine.
Yeah, well, no, they weren't. They were on the other side of the panel, which is where people wanted them to stay. You could just see the outline of it.
Mm.
But, yeah, we've seen them in overhead storage compartments and different types of things. And if it's snakes, scorpions, all kinds of things, those things happen from time to time. And it creates the obvious chaos on board. So, you know, when you're talking about, let's say, you know, 10 million flights a year, it doesn't happen very much statistically, so please don't be afraid to go to sleep on your next flight.
Tell you what, I take a snake on a plane over a crying kid sitting next to me on a plane, that's for sure. All right, Jay Ratliff.
Yeah, those you can shove in a bag and just tell them to shut up, right?
Yeah. Our air travel and market expert with us every Monday morning. You can find him online at daytradefund.com. Again, that's daytradefund.com. Jay, really appreciate the update. Thanks so much.
Have a good day.
All right. When we come back.